Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you. It is Tuesday, October 15th. You know what that means. We are back to a Twitter Tuesday. So your questions are the focus of today's show. Want to thank you for the fantastic questions, and let's jump right into them. This first question comes from Eric W. It was sent via email to our email address, lockedongiantspodcast@gmail.com, who asks, I know you say we aren't one player away, but we are one game out of the NFC East lead, and would it be worth looking into improving the tackle position or wide receiver through a trade? Trent Williams comes to mind, or maybe an AJ Green. No, Eric, I don't think you trade at this point. I just don't, because, and here's why. Number one, I think, and this is an article that by the time you hear this podcast, I believe this article will be up, but you have to kind of see where the Giants are at after this weekend's game, actually after the next two weekend games. If they lose both of the games, then, you know, I could see them having a fire sale. If they win, then that's a different story. I just don't see trading for a left tackle for Trent Williams. I mean, Washington's probably going to want an arm and a leg, and I just don't see them wanting to trade with the Giants. I mean, why would you want to help an opponent? It doesn't make sense to me. Regarding AJ Green, I don't see that happening either. I mean, I think the Bengals will trade him, but I don't think it'll be the Giants. I'd have to look at the salary cap figure, and I'll take a look, see if I can pull that up as I'm talking to you. But I don't know that. Let me just pull that up. Actually, take a look here. AJ Green has a salary cap figure right now of $11.976 million. The Giants would have to drastically work on creating cap space to accommodate that figure. So no, I don't see that happening. I don't think the answer is to pour all your money into one receiver. I mean, the Giants tried that with Odell Beckham Jr. and we saw how that didn't work out. So no, I don't see that being a possibility. Sorry. All right. Up next, let's go back to Twitter. And we have a question. Actually, we have several questions from Adam Garrison, A. Garrison 22, going to answer. One of them has to do with 4th-and-2 last week. That game's kind of in the rearview mirror. So, Adam, I'm not going to go back there because, quite honestly, I've moved on from that game. But I will try and get your other two questions in. The first of which is, with Beal set to possibly come back in a few weeks and Ballantyne's progression, do you see where they might deal Jenkins to a desperate team like Kansas City for draft assets? No, I don't. I would be surprised. And, you know, again, there's an article that should be out by the time you guys are hearing this podcast. But the point I made in that article regarding Janoris Jenkins and Sam Beal is that while I do believe that Sam Beal is being earmarked as the future starter at cornerback along with DeAndre Baker, this is a kid who has yet to get on the field. All right. So the Giants just don't know what they have in him. I mean, this is a kid who hasn't even really practiced that much, if you think about it. So to me, I just think it would be irresponsible if they went and they traded Janoris Jenkins, who they at least do know what he brings to the table, for a kid that has all kinds of potential, but you just don't know at this point, is he going to be the answer? And again, I'll go back to what I said with the previous question. You have to see what the record is, you know, to make that determination right now. I just would be stunned if the Giants do it now. I think that's why you're not seeing any trades being made as of this juncture in time, because teams are kind of waiting to see what the next couple of weeks bring. All right, next up we have, let's do another one from Adam Garrison. Is Jones's decision to try to throw into tight coverage the last few games a growing pain from a young player and oversight and coaching? I think it's a growing pain. As Daniel Jones learns how to read coverages and make decisions and whatnot, and gets away from the half reads that he's been doing, I think you're going to see those mistakes gradually dissipate. All right. Up next, we have a question from Empire PR Man, who wants to know, what are the factors behind the improved play of the linebackers from a player and coaching standpoint? If you're talking about, I'm not sure if you're talking about run defense or pass defense or both, but I think you have to start up front. The Giants' defensive front is starting to get more of a push. You're starting to see them collapse the pocket, force throws, get the quarterback off the mark. And when you get that push up front, that really makes it easy on the linebackers. It also makes it easier on the defensive backs. In terms of pass defense, a couple of things that the Giants did, and they didn't do it as much, I don't think, against the Patriots, but what they did was they played an extra defensive back more often. And what that did was it allowed the zones to be not as gaping as they were maybe, you know, during that stretch, the beginning half of the Tampa Bay game and against the Vikings. So those were a few of the things that they did in order to kind of stop the bleeding there and help the linebackers. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina. It is a Twitter Tuesday. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and have more of your questions answered. So do stay with us. The folks at Roman, a men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes. Get $10 off your first order of swipes and free two-day shipping at GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Twitter Tuesday. Patricia Traina here with you. Your questions are front and center on today's show, one of the best shows that I think I do during the course of the week, because it's all about what you guys and gals want to hear. So it is my pleasure to answer as many of your questions as I can. All right, so let's continue onward. We have a question from L.I. Yankee King 22, who submitted a list of players that he feels the Giants should trade. And on the list included Solder, Kevin Zeitler, Alec Ogletree, Janoris Jenkins, Mike Remmers, Rhett Ellison, Marcus Golden, and Antoine Bethea. And, dude, I got to ask you, who are you going to replace all these guys with? I mean, come on. I get it that, you know, you want to try and get draft picks and everything like that. But if you're going to propose trading a guy, you better have a replacement this year, especially considering, like I said at the top of the program, the Giants have a chance to make some noise here. I mean, they are not out of it. And with the struggles of the Cowboys and the Eagles, you know, if the Giants win these next two games, do you really want to dismantle this team at this stage? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And again, you don't have replacements for these guys. So why would you want to trade them? It just, I just don't understand that. I think it's too premature to talk about this. And, you know, again, it's a point that I made in the article that you can find over on the Maven at si.com/NFL/Giants. So do check that out, guys. I mean, hopefully that article will answer a lot of the questions about the trades. All right. Up next, we have Run Saquon Run, who asks, on most read option plays, Daniel Jones hands the ball off to the running back only to be stuffed at the line. Meanwhile, the entire right side has been wide open for him to run. Why isn't he keeping it himself? It could be a function of what the play is, call is. You know, maybe the coaches don't want him to keep it. I don't know. Or maybe he's just not seeing it. It could be any number of issues. I'd have to take a look at that closer on film. I haven't really done that film study and honed in on that particular thing, but my guess is it could be a combination of what's being called and the direction and design of the play. All right, up next, we have a question from Spider733. Any update on Buchanan, and is it me or does Shermer seem unable to plan to take advantage of other teams' weaknesses? No update on Deon Buchanan, at least not as of this recording. I know there was some interest last week, but from what I understand, and this again is as of last week, I don't know if this has changed, but Buchanan does have interest around the league, and I guess he's just going to shop himself till he gets the best deal. Regarding your question on Pat Shurmur unable to take advantage of other teams' weaknesses, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think the intent is good. I think they do recognize other teams' weaknesses, but you have to have the personnel to do that. And, you know, depending on what specific you're talking about, there might have been instances where maybe they weren't matched up to take advantage of the other team's weakness. So basically, if you have a specific that you want to ask about related to that question, I could probably answer that a little bit better. I can go in and take a look at the film, but you know, on the whole, I just don't agree with that statement. All right. Up next, we hear from, let's see, David T. at Tiger Tang wants to know, let's see. He asked a question I think that was covered earlier in the program. At some point, hopefully soon, we should see more Beal, Ballantyne, and Love so that we can be ready to move on from Jenkins and Haley. Agreed. As I said regarding Beal, the Giants are probably going to take the full 3 weeks to see what they have in him because this is a kid who hasn't practiced that much. I don't think they know what they have in him as of this level. You know, maybe they know about the mental aspect of it and his grasp of the playbook, but, you know, understanding the playbook and executing it, two very different things. So I just don't think that, you know, they're going to move on from him. You know, if he had played last year and then gone on IR this year, maybe I could see an argument for moving on from Jenkins once Beal was deemed healthy and came off of IR, but I just don't think that's going to happen this year. I'd be very surprised. Regarding Corey Ballantyne, that one's a head scratcher. I really don't know why he hasn't gotten more opportunities. I think what I've heard is he's not ready yet. So I'm going to have to defer to the coaches on that because they get to see practice. The media does not get to see the full practice during the season. So I couldn't begin to tell you where Ballantyne is in his development in practice. Regarding Julian Love, the thing you've got to remember with him is they are trying to teach him free safety. It is a position change. So it's going to take some time for him to master angles, to master, you know, playing inside, because I don't think he did it as much in college. So it's going to take some time. It's not something that you're going to see overnight. Now, with all that said, I do believe you are going to see more Ballantyne and more of Love as the season progresses. Certainly in the second half of the year, I think you will see a heck of a lot more of them in the defensive sets. But for now, it's just a matter of getting those guys ready to play. And I don't think the coaches think that they're ready to go full blast yet. All right, next question comes from Honeywell Jason, who asks, do you think Bethea, Jenkins, and Ogletree will all be gone next year? And will their roles go to incumbents or longer-term free agent solutions? Jason, I do think there is a very good chance that Bethea, Jenkins, and Ogletree are not on this roster next year for cap purposes. Regarding replacements, I think maybe you see Ryan Connolly take over for Ogletree. I think Julian Love is being groomed to take over for Bethea, and Sam Beal is being groomed to take over for Jenkins. So yeah, I do think the replacements are on the roster. I do not think, however, that they are ready to go just yet. But I believe that is how the Giants are leaning for the future. You know, it'll give them an opportunity to save significant cap dollars while, you know, continuing to build on that core defense that, you know, is so young, but looks so promising on paper. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Trenner. We are on a Twitter Tuesday. We're going to take our final break, come back, and answer the remaining few of your questions. So do stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans. Segment 3 of Twitter Tuesday. Patricia Traina here with you on the Locked On Giants podcast, and we will continue with your questions. We'll kick it off with CEO Athlete Advisor, who says, I'd like to see Daniel Jones do more play action and perhaps roll out to buy more time and or give him a chance to use his legs. What's your opinion? I agree. I would like to see that as well. But I think what the Giants are trying to do is they are trying to set it up so that Jones doesn't become too foot happy in the pocket. And by that, I mean, I've seen over the years, mobile quarterbacks that have come in to the Giants who, instead of letting a play develop, will take off with the ball, thinking that, you know, in other words, they misjudge the pressure around them. So I just have a feeling that the Giants are trying to get him so that he learns to feel the pressure in the pocket before having him decide whether or not to take off and run too much. D. Colada asks, where exactly is Beal's place in the DB rotation currently in practice, and what do you think the realistic expectations are for him the rest of the season? He hasn't started practicing yet. He will start tomorrow, according to head coach Pat Shurmur. Usually when a player comes back from injury or is a new player to the roster, he starts off at the bottom of the depth chart and then kind of works his way up. So I think that's what we will see from Beal. And I think realistically speaking, as he becomes more and more comfortable, after, of course, he's activated, that is, you'll probably see him get a few snaps here and there and just kind of see that increase each passing week as he gets more and more comfortable. Next question came from Cap_AKA_Neo. When the Giants have their full complement of receivers, who plays in the slot, three wide receiver sets? They rotate the third receiver often. I mean, sometimes it's Cody Latimer, but I would like to see Darius Slayton take on that role a little bit more than he has. And I think by the end of the year, that's potentially what we're looking at, is Darius Slayton will move up into that slot or that third receiver role. I mean, technically, the slot has been between Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard. So if you're talking in terms of which is the next guy up in the third receiver set, I would think the goal is to get Darius Slayton in there as that third receiver. Haiti HBA asks, are the G-men in the market to make any trades? Have they inquired about Jalen Ramsey? No, I don't expect them to inquire about Jalen Ramsey. And again, I have an article that, you know, by the time you hear this podcast, that article should be out. It's actually going to drop at 9 o'clock in the morning. So if you're hearing this podcast just after midnight or even at 7:30, you're getting the reminder. You won't see the article, but at 9 o'clock, if you head on over to the Maven at si.com/NFL/Giants, you will see what I wrote about potential trades and why I don't think the Giants are going to be too active this year in the trade market. Giants big hitter from Big Blue Huddle. Hey, what's going on? He asks, what is your report card to date on the offensive line play, both individually and collectively? Brian, I haven't really given individual grades. I would say this, though. If I had to just off the top of my head rank them in order of how they played, I would say maybe Will Hernandez is number one, Kevin Zeitler 1A, Mike Rimmers I would put 2, Nate Solder 3, and I would put John Jalapio maybe at the bottom there. Am I missing anybody? No, I'm not missing anybody. I got everybody there. As far as the offensive line play as a whole, it hasn't been horrible, but I think it can be a little bit better. Especially against the faster flowing defenses. I mean, certainly the pressure that has been coming off the edges has been a concern, but I think that group will be the first to admit that they can play a lot better than what they have. Next question comes from Diesel142. Let me see. Another question about Sam Beal. And what do I think his role is? Okay, I kind of answered that question before. Let's see. Reese's daddy asked, chances of the Giants signing Deion Buchanan at this point. I don't know. Last week, I think if you had asked me that, I would have said, you know, there was a decent enough chance. But now that the Giants are back healthy, I don't know. I guess I would be surprised if they do it. I guess it would depend on whether or not Deion Buchanan would be willing to take a veteran minimum. But, you know, right now I haven't heard much on that, but, you know, as I record this, I haven't heard much, but, we'll see if it happens. I haven't even seen if Buchanan's drawn interest around the league. So, and if they sign him, would it cost them a comp pick? No, it would not. So you don't have to worry about that. All right. G. Vasquez, MD, is Tanny going to be quarterback number two next year or quarterback coach? Kind of getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but my guess is that Tanny will be quarterback number two. Now, what I didn't check, and I will check, is whether or not Tanny signed for the same contract. In other words, when they terminated his contract, a couple weeks ago, he originally had a 2-year deal. So now they re-signed him, and I'm just curious to see, and I'll have to check on that to see if he signed another 2-year deal or if he's just signed for 1 year, which I think is going to be the case. Usually when they terminate the contract, they get a new contract, and so it's possible that he just got the 1-year deal. I will check on that, and I'll have something about that in my first and 10 points before the article that I do every week before the next game that's scheduled. Patrick Frank 1 asks about more design runs for Daniel Jones, kind of answered that question. Let's see, Kevin LaFaso, a question I've been thinking about for a few weeks now. If Eli Manning still had his starting quarterback streak going, do you think Shurmur still makes the change? Yes, I do. I don't think Shurmur is too wrapped up about that. I don't think Eli would have been that wrapped up about it either. Let's see. I think there's a couple more here. Texas Wine Lover asks, with what warm-up are quarterbacks doing when they hold their arms straight up for a long time walking around during pregame warm-ups? My guess is it has something to do with shoulders. If you put your arms straight up, it's designed to strengthen your shoulders and just, I guess, improve the, you know, the flexibility and loosen them up. So that would be my guess. Seize the moment. How did David Mayo grade out? Kid looks solid. I don't know what the Giants' grades are because they obviously don't tell us that information. If we're talking about Pro Football Focus's grades, which, you know, I think are subjective, I'll see if I can find that for you. Let's see. David Mayo. Let's just see. I'm just pulling it up right now. Defensive grades. David Mayo right now looks like he's the second best graded player on the defense behind Dexter Lawrence. Overall, it looks like he has a 78.6 grade behind Lawrence's 87.2. So that's how he graded out with Pro Football Focus. Again, I don't know how the Giants graded him out as that information is not made available to us. Final question comes from John Spielman. I know it's 6 games, but what positions deserve consideration for Giants' top 3 draft picks? John, I can't answer that one because it is 6 games and they're still, you know, the defense is still coming together. You know, so it's kind of premature to answer that. I would say if I had to guess at this point, I would say maybe add another receiver, maybe add another linebacker would be another spot. But again, it's just so early, John, that it's hard to give you an accurate answer at this point. I think if you check back with me towards the end of the year, like with maybe, you know, 4 games left or so, I can give you a better response on that. But after 6, kind of premature. So, all right, Giant fans, that will do it for this edition of the Twitter Tuesday. I want to thank you, as always, for the fantastic questions. And want to remind you that tomorrow we are going to have the crossover show. I'm going to have a guest. I won't tell you who it is, but it's going to be a guest on Thursday's show. So I'm going to be doing an interview there. And then we'll just wrap it up with another show on Friday. So hope you'll tune in and listen. Thanks, as always, for the questions and for listening. And I will talk to you again soon.